WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and we're at the end of March.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We made it through spring break. Did we see each other? Oh, this is our first time. Is this our first time seeing each other from spring break?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so confused right now.
I know.
That's right. This is our, okay. Well, yeah. Well, welcome back. How was your spring break?
It was good. You know, I think before the break, I had told you the plan was to drive my children and my parents to North Carolina.
I want
to
know about that.
So that was, I mean, it was not bad. And I had in my head the whole time, maybe my parents didn't have this in their head, but I was like, I am going to be the one that exclusively drives up there and back.
Right.
And it was not too bad. It was interesting, though, because my dad was in the front seat, front passenger seat, and then my mom was in the back with the two kids, and my mom felt very compelled to tell me what the speed limit was at certain points,
or
would just read signs.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mom, I was like, you know, I see that. I was like, I have Waze on, so I know when the you know, the police are there.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was like, I have all of this precious cargo in this vehicle. I'm like, I promise, it's gonna be okay.
Well, and I feel like your parents, like my parents. Well, I don't know. My mom lets me drive her anywhere. She hates driving, so like she doesn't, I mean, she's pretty like nervous, like if we're driving on the interstate and like, you know, she thinks I'm like getting too close to somebody or I'm not like hitting my brakes when I'm supposed to. But I think, I don't know, I kind of do that too, like when Jason's driving, I'm like, okay, you're going a little, okay, you're a little too close to them. But I wonder if that's a guy thing, because I notice like my brother does that too.
Yes.
Yeah,
no,
they get right up on them and it's like brake, you know?
Right. And I'm like, wait a second. I know, I just, the whole time I was thinking, I'm like, okay, are they gonna have the mindset that they are riding with their 18-year-old daughter when it's like,
right,
hey babe, she's almost 40, like, you know. So yeah, but I mean, we got to see the baby.
Yay.
Really great. That was fun, all the things. And so that was the last half of spring break. The first half of the spring break, I tried to clean, you know, do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
How about you? Because you did like a little staycation.
Yeah.
Right?
So we were gonna try to go up to Huntsville, but then we were like, you know, it's kind of, why? Everybody's gonna be traveling. But we ended up going the Friday before spring break. We ended up going into Birmingham just to do some things and hit up Trader Joe's, because you know, when you go to Birmingham, you hit up Trader Joe's. And I like really like Buc-ee's. Like, it's this weird thing where like,
sure,
I always have to go when I'm in Birmingham. And I think part of it is, I know people are like, why would you choose to go there? But it kind of makes me think I'm going on a vacation. It's like, if I go to Buc-ee's and I like, no, I'm going to buy some fun things to eat, some souvenirs, just like random stuff, because you never know what you're going to find. It makes me feel like, okay, I'm on a road trip. So it was like a mini road trip. It was Buc-ee's and Trader Joe's. And that's like the only traveling we did. I mean, that was it.
That sounds amazing and lovely. And you're right. Buc-ee's does have that very like, I am out of town right now. I'm road tripping. So what snacks did you get?
Okay, this is, this might make some people barf. I don't know. But, and Jason's like, I cannot believe you buy those. I like pickled eggs.
We've talked about that before.
And I buy pickled quail eggs.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
I mean,
they're kind of weird.
It's,
I mean,
surprising.
Being a vegetarian.
Yes.
Yes. It's weird though, because I really like eggs. That's why I can never be a vegan, but they're, it's so weird. They have a lot of really good health benefits, and the calories are very low, and they're very filling.
Yeah.
And I forget, there's something very specific in quail eggs. We might have to like Google it during the break. But I was reading the label, and I was like, oh my gosh, I did some research. I was like, these are a healthy little snack, especially like the pickling, you know, spices and all that. But let's see, what else did I get? I think we bought, I didn't eat it, but like some jerky, because they're known to have really good jerky. And I think I bought like some sweets. Like I probably bought like some fudge or something. So like a really good fudge.
Yeah.
But they also have, they carry this brand of flip-flops that I really, really like. And they're called, oh my gosh, maybe Rock or something. I'll have to look it up. But they're really cheap. They're like $12, anywhere from like $9 to $12. And they're super comfortable. And so every time I go to Buc-ee's, I always buy a pair of like, they'll look like Birkenstocks, but they're like really, really lightweight. So I always go buy like a new pair of flip-flops.
That
is weird, but I mean,
you motivated me to go to Buc-ee's really soon just to go.
But like, you could go on a little family day trip.
Oh,
Like, yeah. Do something fun, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. No, yeah. You know, get some beaver nuggets.
Yeah.
You know, all the things. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, this is not what we will be talking about the entire show. We got excited. We had to catch up. But, y'all, we are going to take a quick break. So run to the restroom, grab a beverage, a snack, whatever you need to do. Maybe not time to run to Bucky's. Mm-hmm. Well, depending on where you're listening from. But you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we are catching up because we hadn't seen each other since spring break, and we've been traveling, or me, I just went to Bucky's because I like going to Bucky's. Sheena's been traveling to North Alabama with the kids, but now it's time to, like, get into it because, I mean, this semester, would you say we're halfway or over halfway?
I feel like over halfway.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. And it's been interesting talking to students that I've run into after spring break because I think that, you know, depending on what year you are or the mm-hmm. types of things you're involved in, some students are like, oh, man, this is kind of like the downturn of a crazy semester. And then I was speaking with a current senior who's involved in a lot of different senior honoraries and things mm-hmm. like that. And she's like, actually, the semester has ramped up to me leading up until honors week.
I'm sure.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense to you. So I think really just depending on what your personal experiences are, but mm-hmm. you guys who have been following the show this whole semester, because I know you faithfully listen every Sunday. Whitney and I, you know, we've talked about New Year's resolutions. We've kind of made this joke that it can only be considered a New Year's resolution if it happens before March 31st.
Yep.
And so we wanted to talk about that today because it's nearing the end of March in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So you might be in the boat of, oh, I did create some New Year's resolutions, but I haven't really done as much with it as I want. Mm-hmm. Or you could be in the boat of, oh, my Lanta, I haven't set any goals at all. Mm-hmm. Like, is it too late? Like, what's the deal? So,
you
there
know,
you go.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that when I was driving in. You know, it's spring. It's I mean, of course, there's, like, tons of pollen. Everybody's probably sick now. But, like, the trees are blooming, plants and all this kind of stuff. And it's this new sense of, like, renewal, I feel like. And so, you know, personally for me, if I was going to set a goal or a resolution or something, I would probably set it right after spring break. Because I feel like you kind of, as a student, you're either ramping up, like Sheena said, or you are, like, rolling it down and you're kind of, maybe you finished a lot of your coursework. I don't know, depending on what your program is. But maybe this is a really good time to, like, re-look at your goals and kind of maybe change them up. Or if you haven't even done anything to meet your goals, like, I mean, I don't know. Sheena, have you... I mean, we talked about this at the beginning of the semester, and I know we've had our personal goals, but I can't remember what mine were.
I know. I can't necessarily either, and I think that actually is a good segue into recommending if you're going to set some goals and you're serious about following through, document them in some way, because I think that if you have this very flippant, mm-hmm. casual thought process about it, mm-hmm. then it can be easy to forget.
And clearly, like us. I mean, we're the perfect examples because we're just not – we don't remember. I think mm-hmm. – actually, I think one of mine was like a personal goal of like my training for my Pilates training and things like that.
Oh, we talked about professional development.
Professional development, that's right. Which I feel like this is a good time to do it because now that the pandemic is like kind of, I guess, slowing down, who knows, whatever, I don't know. But like there's like conferences, people are able to like travel and go to conferences. So mm-hmm. maybe for professional development, we can kind of start to evaluate those things.
Yes, and I think if for our listeners that work on campus, you know, this can be a time, and especially going into the summer, where you know, maybe your summer is not as busy as the regular fall and mm-hmm. spring semester, so you can do a lot of that continuing mm-hmm. ed for that professional development. And also, too, I've gotten the sense from students when I've worked with them one-on-one that sometimes when students have created their New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the semester, a lot of it is created in a way geared towards preparing for spring break.
Uh-huh.
And so even though that, right. that is a good chunk of time to mm-hmm. implement healthy habits, there is that sense of urgency that I think sometimes can mm-hmm. get people to do either, you know, fad diet-based things mm-hmm. or maybe even choose types of physical activity that provide a lot of burnout
yeah.
and not enjoyment and longevity.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, no offense to you guys that are kind of doing that, because it's like, I think back to when I was a student, I didn't have any clue. Like, mm-hmm. I talked to a student this week just about, you know, changing up their exercise routine and, you know, the kind of looking at some healthy options, like when they go out to eat, like thinking a little clearer. And it was so interesting to me, like knowing my path as a professional in this field and thinking about the knowledge I have. And then when I talk to somebody that doesn't have that knowledge, I'm like, there's a lot of education that has to go along with that. And I think, you know, we have these goals that we set. Spring break is the big one. I know for us at the rec center, we are pretty much bombarded with, you know, spring break and people thinking I got to like work out and I got to hit it. And then it's like our participation will like drop after spring break. And yeah. it's like, well, are we creating a healthy habit or are we just like have this one goal in mind and then we just kind of let it go?
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. No. And, you know, thinking about the show today, I was pulling up some articles. Mm-hmm. And so for those of us that are listening today and you did have some New Year's resolutions, but you felt like you haven't really done too much with it, I was looking and it was this website provided some recommendations on how to reevaluate and revisit those goals. So one of the first recommendations was remember the reason why you made the resolution.
That's
so
right.
So I think that that's great. So I think, you know, was it specifically related to weight loss or just your quality of life in general? Maybe you had a New Year's resolution of I'm going to set quiet time because I feel like I get burned out all the time or whatever the case may be. So remembering the reason why you made the resolution. The other one is to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like that. You know, we've had Charles on the show several times when we talk about goal setting and SMART goals.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that acronym is really being realistic about that. And what would you say to that in regards to fitness-related goals?
You know, fitness is so vast and there's so much out there and so much information. And we've talked about this plenty of times about social media and the influence that it has. And, you know, to be honest, fitness is super vain sometimes and it's all about the look of it. When it comes to fitness, I like to use measurable tools. So like if I know I have a goal and it is, you know, if I'm in the category that I should probably lose weight because, you know, you might think you need to lose weight and that might not be the case. That's why we have tools at the rec center that we use to kind of help our clients figure out like what's the best thing for them. But, you know, if it is to lose weight, you know, maybe finding a time that you measure your weight loss, like, I don't know, once a week, something like that. Mm-hmm. Because I know I talk to a lot of our clients that tend to get a little bit too obsessive about the scales, and it's just sometimes not a really good indication for us. And so we will use other modes like circumference measurements, because you can see that, you know, week to week maybe you lose a little bit of you know, off of your circumference measurements and you feel better and your clothes feel a little bit better, but the scales don't necessarily tell you that you've lost because maybe your body is shifting its composition and it's just kind of hard to tell. But I don't know, with fitness I like to, you know, the SMART goals, it's so simple and it's SMART, quote unquote, like just measure it out, make sure that you're very specific with it. For strength training, I know Charles would be great to talk about this, but like being consistent, but then also giving yourself a little bit of grace, because some days you just don't feel as great, you know, and it can just fluctuate how you work out, sleep the night before, maybe how you're fueling your body. So there's a lot of variables, but I think if you can kind of have a set plan, I kind of like to look at like a month of time, because I think a month, 4 weeks is doable to stick with something rather than, you know, okay, I'm going to do it the whole semester. So maybe create a smaller time frame for yourself.
I like that. And I think too, just kind of in the vein of being realistic, at this point in the semester, you know what the flow of your classes are like and what that time frame is like in between classes, or what would be realistic in terms of determining frequency of either going to work out or actual ability to meal prep. Because I think sometimes at the beginning of the semester, we know what our schedule is, but until it plays out, we don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to do. I mean, you're having to walk everywhere, which is great exercise. And so you guys are probably all getting tons of exercise, except we now have those Vivo bikes or whatever they are, the little scooters. So everybody's like riding their Harleys around campus. But yeah, knowing your schedule and figuring it out, moving the pieces. I mean, now's the perfect time because you've been doing it for half the semester.
Exactly. Well, I know we've got to take another break, but there's a couple of other things from this article that I want to bring up. But y'all, go get yourself hydrated, run to the restroom, do the things. You will catch us on the flip side. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. We're just checking in on everybody's goals because, you know, we said beginning of the semester that you had until the end of March, and it's the 29th today. And so if you haven't set a goal for the year, or I mean, let's forget a year. Let's just go shorter. Let's just say for the month of April, let's maybe think of a goal that we can do. Maybe you haven't even stepped foot in the rec center or just a gym in general, and you could take advantage of facilities and just walk in and just see what it's all about.
Exactly. No, yeah. I love that. And with the article that I had mentioned earlier and some of the tips that they gave about revisiting your New Year's resolutions or creating new goals, I love this next recommendation about framing your resolution or goal positively. Mm-hmm. I think we've had this conversation before. There is a dietitian that I really love to follow on social media. Got to meet her once in person at a conference. He was like kind of geeked out.
As I say, she's like fangirl.
Oh, yeah. I totally did. And I told her, I was like, I'm a fangirl. Yeah. She's like, oh my gosh. But her name is Kira Harpstreet, and so she shares this thing on her social media all the time and has a sign in her office for her clients that basically says, whatever you're doing for your body in terms of eating or exercise, are you doing it from a place of love for your body or a place of hate? And so, you know, if we're trying to frame our resolution positively, maybe you previously had a New Year's resolution that was like, oh my gosh, I am not going to eat sugar anymore. Yeah. Or I'm not going to eat processed food anymore or, you know, junk food, like I'm going to eliminate it. Well, maybe that is the case. Maybe maybe the frequency of that has been a little bit higher than it should be. Mm-hmm. So if we try to frame that in a positive way, maybe it's a challenge to ourselves of, oh, I would love to focus on getting more fresh produce in my diet or choosing grilled options a little bit more frequently. So if you're thinking about what you can add more of to your lifestyle, as opposed to it being very deprivation-based, you're going to be more likely to follow that. Or maybe even choosing activities that bring you joy
and like to do.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I think that's what I've just, I mean, you nailed it. And she has such great insight on that, you know, food is really good and your body craves it. Exercise is really good. And if you don't physically feel good, I know I'll physically have to like get up and move my body and just move around and stretch. Like there's a reason, like if you listen to your body and you're intuitive, but I love that, like incorporating positive things because I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen this or it just makes sense to me. If I know I'm going to like go splurge with my friends, I'm going to, you know, eat a pizza. That's not something you typically regularly eat. I've gotten to where I have to have a green something with my food.
Yeah.
At first it was kind of like, oh, I think I'm just, instead of eating pizza, I think I'm going to like just add a salad in there because it would help to, you know, maybe incorporate some healthier things. But now I crave it. And so it's like, I always want to have a side salad anytime I eat something that's like heavy and fatty because it kind of cuts it. And then I honestly don't even eat as much of the pizza because I really enjoy the salad.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, kind of a nice little positive shift. Same thing with exercise. I mean, exercise gets such a bad rap and people like don't want to do it because it's hard and it's strenuous. And I'm not telling you, you know, working hard and achieving what you want to achieve, there's some work to it. I'm not going to lie. And stressing out the body, that's kind of part of it. But at the same time, there's a lot of really good forms of exercise. Like if you like to dance, go take a dance class.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think working in the field of eating disorders, I would definitely want to put out there too, because I've had some individuals in the past that will say like, well, I'm not exercising right now because I don't need to lose weight or I'm not planning on losing weight. I think if we can shift our mindset about the benefits of physical activity where we're making that connection of it's so good for us mental health-wise, the fact that movement is increasing our circulation, which means that we're getting more oxygen to all of these different body parts because our, we're actually getting our blood flowing. So if, you know, if your hang up or hesitation is, oh no, I don't want to trigger myself thinking, oh, I've only ever seen exercise as a way to lose weight. These are some different ways you can think about physical activity. And I think that that can make a world of difference.
Yeah. And I think physical activity, we've mentioned before, maybe I'm just thinking about presentations that I've done for wellness, but it doesn't have to be the form of exercise. Like it can be, I'm going to go outside and play with my kids, or I'm going to go outside and on the quad and just play a fun game. You're moving your body. And that's all that matters. Like you said, circulation, moving the joints. It helps to balance out chemicals in the body. We sit way too much and it's just, it's needed. Just like eating healthy things is needed.
Absolutely. No, I love that. And, you know, I think also too, just looking at some of the other things that were recommended in the article, make it fun. Yeah. I think you and I can both agree with that. I think we kind of just touched base about choosing activities that you would actually enjoy.
Yeah. And I'll add this too. It shouldn't hurt you. Exercise should not hurt. And I think because I was watching I watch a lot of YouTube, guys. It's just what I do. But this guy that I found that explains muscle groups and movement, and he like will show you dissections on a cadaver so you can understand the muscles. And I was listening to him, and he was talking about foam rolling. That's a whole other thing that we could get into. But he was talking about like how it shouldn't, like there's certain types of foam rolling moves that we do that hurt. And there's a reason why it's hurting. It's telling you that you probably shouldn't do that specific thing. And so it's the same thing with exercise. There's a difference between, I tell my clients all the time, your muscles actually working and engaging and feeling like some heat and feeling that concentric contraction or eccentric, whatever you're working on. But then if you're feeling pain and sharpness, you should never push through that, ever. And I think for a while back in the day, it was like, no pain, no gain. And I'm like, that's BS. Because if my clients start hurting, the first thing I'm going to do is have them stop, evaluate it, and figure out another alternative. Because I could seriously be injuring them, or you could seriously be injuring yourself. There's a lot of exercise crazes I could totally go off on right now. But I'm just saying, be very aware. It should not hurt you when you're exercising. It should be fun and enjoyable.
No, I love that you mentioned that. And I think that that can just give some insight to our listeners where if they are doing a new exercise routine, to ask their personal trainer or the group exercise trainer, hey, what is the difference between me finding something challenging versus it being painful?
Exactly.
You know, because obviously it's great to challenge our bodies, but
heart rate up, feel the work. I mean, you'll know because you should have a sense of this is challenging. It feels good though. It's like a love hate, but it should never be something that you have to just force yourself through.
Yes.
You
know? And I think in that same vein with eating, you know, if we have someone who is like, oh, I'm going to start eating more fruits and vegetables, or, you know, other sources of protein, don't be afraid to explore and find things that actually taste good to you. I think that there is this mindset of like, I mean, maybe someone like totally hates kale and they're like, oh, I feel like I have to add it to my smoothies because it's so healthy. I would rather do spinach because kale and smoothies to me taste a little bit more earthy or, you know, and so don't do it if you're not going to enjoy it.
Because that's a good point.
You're putting a negative connotation with your eating. So there are so many other fruits and vegetables that you are probably going to enjoy that have a different flavor profile.
Get adventurous.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes our grocery stores don't always have, I mean, you know, all the fruits and the vegetables, and you maybe go to an Asian market and you find fruits and vegetables that come from a different country. Like, oh my gosh, the Asian pears, like the Korean pears, they're so good. And I'm not a big fruit eater. I don't know, vegetables all day long, but fruit, I'm very specific on like what I like, but those are very, very good. The texture and everything. So you kind of have to like make it fun. Like, you know, find some different things.
Yeah. You might find that with a specific type of fruit or vegetable, you like it prepared one way versus the other, you know, oh my goodness, like carrots. I feel like for the longest time I would have so many people say like, oh, I really like carrots raw, but I think cooking them are nasty. And I will say,
that's so funny. Cause
well, I used to be in that boat before I had them cooked in a way that I've fallen in love with.
Okay.
But previously, when I think when I thought of cooked carrots, I would think of like the canned carrots that were like, you know, parboiled and like kind of mushy, whatever. Yeah. Now I like them like roasted with a little like EVOO, you know, some like lemon juice on there and lemon zest to kind of add some acidity to it.
Because they're pretty sweet when they're cooked.
Yes. How do you like your carrots?
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned this because I actually boil carrots for my dog because she's older and so she's like her teeth are sensitive and she loves carrots. She has to eat healthy because she's got, you know, stuff going on. But so her treats are like little cut boiled carrots. That's what she eats because they're soft. And I like tasted one the other day and I was like, I just can't get on board with a cooked carrot. I don't know what it is, but I like raw carrots. Like if you're going to give me a carrot, I think I prefer it raw and I like dipping it in hummus and stuff like that. Yeah. But maybe I'll give the cooked carrot. Maybe I'll try a little EVOO and some lemon juice.
I'll share the roasted carrot recipe that I got. I actually got it from like a HelloFresh meal.
Oh, nice.
I'll share it with you.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes. But okay, guys, we got to take a break. During that time, you can research
eat
the recipes.
Carrot.
Eat a carrot, do all the things. We'll catch you in a couple minutes. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, friends, to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And if you're just now tuning in and you're like, what the heck is a Fit to Be Tied? Well, I'll tell you. It's our radio show that we've been doing for how many years now? Like almost seven?
I think so, yes.
It's been a while. We've had like different people on the show and different, you know, cast members and all this kind of stuff. So it's been good. But we just try to keep you all rocking and rolling and thinking about your health and fitness and wellness and, you know, all those good things. And we're trying to give you a little bit of grace today and teach you to love yourself and teach you that, you know, sometimes you just can't always stick to what you think you're trying to do. Like if you have a goal and you kind of mess up, it's fine. Life is long. It's not like you have to always do the same thing, eat the same thing every day, which I do want to talk about that.
Okay, sure.
I've noticed when I talk with students or people that maybe don't have a very good grasp on nutrition or fitness, I've noticed that they will get very locked in on specifically eating the same thing. And I kind of get it because it's easy to know what those things are, calories specifically.
Sure.
But it's also, it's hard, and I know you work with us a lot, but I've noticed like I've started picking up on like context clues and behavioral clues just from people that I talk to where I'm like, that's interesting. That could go into a little deeper rabbit hole. But is that something that you see a lot of college kids doing like for weight management, or is it more of like, I just know where I can go eat and what I can afford, but like the specifically eating the same thing every day kind of thing?
So there are definitely several different camps in that. So you can have your camp of students who choose to eat the exact same thing every day because they know exactly what the nutrient value is. You know, that's something that they kind of use as a coping mechanism. You know, maybe we label it as disordered. And so you've got that group of folks. I have other groups of folks because their schedules are so chaotic. They have to be super intentional about how they eat for the rest of the week because they have a very specific budget and things. So then it's like, okay, like, you know, my pleasures in life do not come from food. I kind of see it as a means of like, I need some fuel in
survive.
My system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be individual specific. I almost said patient specific as like a clinician. But yeah, I think it really, you know, because people will ask me like, oh, well, is this considered a healthy behavior or a disordered behavior?
Yeah.
And it really just depends on what is the motivation behind that. So if you have someone who is constantly meal prepping or whatever else, you know, and they don't ever eat spontaneously, if they're doing that because the thought of spontaneity freaks them out, then that can be disordered and affect quality of life. But if somebody is doing it out of practicality because they're like, hey, this is what it is, you know, no, I'm not completely enjoying it, but, you know,
I do what I got to do to survive. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Because I actually, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show, there's an eating disorder treatment facility that's out of Birmingham, and on their social media about a month or two ago, they had this graphic, and it was encouraging people to address all the different types of hunger that we have. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to mention them briefly just because I don't think we always think about them. So there's obviously like physical hunger. Yeah. Like, you know, we eat because we feel the rumbles in our tummy. We also sometimes have emotional hunger where it's like, hey, I want that ice cream to like celebrate something or I'm a little sad about something. There's also nutrient hunger where it's like, oh, I'm craving a salad because, like, I want some freshness from that. Yeah. And then there was one that, one category that I really liked, and it was called practical / necessity hunger. Uh-huh. And this would be a scenario where it's 9 a.m. Maybe you're not completely hungry yet, but you know by the time you actually are hungry, you're either going to be in class or in a meeting and you can't eat. So out of practicality and necessity, you go ahead and eat at 9 a.m. to prevent being hangry later in the morning. Mm-hmm. Where you're not going to have the ability to eat. So especially too with students that are like, oh, you know, I just want to eat like only when I'm hungry or this or that. Well, that's an ideal situation, but sometimes life doesn't happen like that. And we have to eat out of necessity or practicality, thinking about the logistics of our schedule. So I kind of wanted to put that out there too, because we can get mixed messages about that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, me personally, I don't tend to really, I used to be like hungry in the mornings and then went through a phase where I was like, I'm just not hungry. But now I kind of do like that last option that you said, where I kind of force myself to eat in the morning. I'm like really not that into it, but I'm like, I need to eat something because I don't know when I'm going to actually get to eat. And with my day, I don't really eat a lot during the day. It's just kind of these snacks to kind of sustain and keep going. And then at dinner, I'm like, that's my meal. And I like look forward to it. But, you know, you do have to plan it out, especially if students going to class. I mean, if you have an 8 a.m. class and maybe a class right after, I mean, you might have to pack a snack or something because you're not, or eat before because you're just not going to be able to, I mean, at least for me, I couldn't sustain. I'd have to have something like just peanut butter crackers or something just to get in my system, like my blood sugar. But I think that's very interesting. That's, I didn't know there were so many different like hunger
Yeah, it's like I've never thought about it that way until I saw that graphically. I was like, oh, I could, this is a, just a very good way to articulate the different reasons that we eat. So I thought that was helpful, but I'm going to go off on a tangent for a second based on the fact that you mentioned like, oh man, like dinner is my jam.
Oh yeah.
What's kind of your style with that, with you and your significant other? Like, do y'all like kind of already at the beginning of the day know what dinner is going to look like? Is it spontaneous where y'all text each other like in the middle of the day? It's like, hey, what do you want for dinner? Like, what's kind of your game plan with that typically?
You know, usually in a week we'll eat out like 2 times. That's kind of our go-to. It's going to be Mexican food one night. We're going to jalapenos. Shout out. So I mean, that's just the way it goes. Like, we're going to have Mexican, and that usually falls on like a Monday or a Tuesday, because it's something about like knowing you're going out to eat at the beginning of the week to kind of like get you excited. Like, I don't know, I get excited going out to eat. It's great. You don't have to cook anything. But it's just kind of random. I mean, we don't like to just stock the fridge full of stuff. It's kind of like if we have something for a couple of days and we can eat leftovers, we're good. And then we'll kind of do our own things. I mean, me being a vegetarian is very different than him being a meat eater. So if he's going to eat something with meat, I'll have to find my alternative. Like, we did hamburgers last night, but I had a Boca burger. You know, so like you kind of can make that work. But I mean, kind of, I mean, week to week, we got to eat out though. I mean, we're big eat out people.
Sure.
What about y'all? I mean, having a family, it's a little different.
It is. But I do, maybe right now my husband doesn't enjoy eating out as much because he knows that it's going to be like this whole spectacle
with the kids.
But if the kid when during the times the kids are not in the picture, because I leave them either with my parents or his parents, we enjoy going out to eat because, you know, it's an experience. It's not just about the food, but just the ambiance.
It is.
And the people watching,
not having to clean
things.
Up a kitchen, not having to prepare. It's you know, it's just nice to go and eat and not have to worry about it. Where's y'all's favorite place to eat? Like, if you're gonna have your date night, what would that look like?
So there's actually a place in Birmingham, in Homewood. It's called Little Donkey.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's really good. Yeah. I think that you and your boo would enjoy it too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What kind of food is it?
So it's actually it's Mexican.
Nice.
But like very like al fresco type stuff.
Fresh kind of. Yeah.
I don't normally like to use the word clean when I talk about like food and flavors, but it has like just a cleanness to
it. So maybe different than like a Mexican restaurant where like you quickly like go in, like our typical that we're used to in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. Maybe has like a different style to it. Well, that's awesome. We'll definitely have to try that out. So guys, I think you know, we're gonna be coming up on a break here in just a second, but I think on our last segment we should just talk about like, you know, a little self-reflection of like maybe giving ourselves a little grace, because I think that's what we need.
I know. Maybe during the break, I'll remember all of the goals that I set, and I'll tell you how I'm going to reframe them to maybe implement them the remainder of this year. But okay, you guys, we're going to go ahead and take that break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back. Fit to Be Tied, and just, you know, checking on everybody's goals. But we did want to say, because I think that sometimes we get a little too wrapped up in our goals. Goals are great. They should bring you, you know, joy and triumph that you meet those goals. But then at times, we just don't. And it can be life experiences get in the way. Maybe we need to reevaluate, and the goal we have in mind isn't what we need to be doing. So I think a little self-reflection, which kind of ties into what we're going to talk about the next week. We'll get into that, you know, next week. But some mindfulness and maybe like seeing like introspection of maybe doing a little journaling, like to write out what we're feeling, to set some intentional goals. And it doesn't have to be related to food or exercise or fitness. It can just be spend more time with people, or read a book, or have quiet time, or enjoy nature. Did you ever figure out your goals?
I didn't, but I was thinking about along the lines of what you've just mentioned, where thinking outside of the box of what those goals could be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're thinking like, oh, well, I'm never successful with anything eating or exercise wise, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be related to that. You know, we talked about the professional development. Maybe your goals are related to, oh, I'm going to be better about healthcare checkups scheduling going to the dentist or whatever else. I think anything that can build confidence to show you that you are capable of change and you are capable of accomplishing something, because I think that sometimes we can get in this rut of setting the same types of goals that honestly set us up for failure.
Sure.
And we play this mind game with ourselves of, oh, I'm just not capable of change.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, I had this conversation with Charles, and I go, Charles, I don't know if I have a hobby that is something that is different than what my profession is, because I can stretch all day long, do yoga, foam roll, but it's also, and I think that is a hobby, but it's also very, it's exactly what I do for my job. I mean, there's some differences because I'm more in a manager role, but I started thinking about it, and he was like, well, Charles draws, paints, and all that kind of stuff. He's very artistic. I was like, I need like an artsy thing, but I don't really have the patience to do it. So I think my hobby, now that I think about it, is, this sounds really, I have two things I think I do for like self-care, because we always ask our, you know, our guests this. I do like cooking. I wouldn't say I'm like a good cook, but there's something very therapeutic about cutting things, cutting vegetables, preparing food and stuff like that. And then also, I love the sun, and I try to wear my sunscreen. I'm not gonna lie, I could sit out in the sun all day long. I love to listen to music and do word search puzzles. That is like my chill time. Yeah. So over the break, when it was sunny and beautiful, I could sit outside all day and just sit there and like do word searches, like cross, like a little old grandma.
I love that.
So I'm going to be great at being a little old grandma.
I love that. No, that, and you were talking about like, oh, I need an artistic thing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was like, I feel like I need the same. Now, I will say that there was a time and chapter in my life where I actually took piano for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Maybe you should come back with that. Do you have a piano at your house?
We don't, but I feel like that could be an opportunity to do that. And it's one of those things where I have these memories from my childhood where my mom would be like, you need to practice, because now I'm you know, this age, and I regret not practicing and being diligent. And I'm like, I followed in my mother's footsteps.
Yeah.
Like, it shows that I did not diligently practice. And so it's a skill that I wish that I could continue on, but maybe I will utilize our on-campus resources with Moody Music.
You could.
And maybe I will take up piano as an adult student and pretend like I don't know anything, because really at this point, that's how I would think about it.
But do you think that you would be able to, like if they start, like 10 years of piano, surely it would kind of start to come back and
you
like...
would hope.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe...
That would be really cool.
Maybe I'll try that this summer.
No, I played violin when I was in fourth grade, but that's a whole nother story. It's, I wasn't any good, so, you know.
Well, okay, so maybe at some point, maybe it's not this year, maybe in a couple of years, we'll jam out
I'll be on the violin, playing hot cross buns, like picking, you know, my finger without even using the bow.
Exactly. But okay, y'all, before we get too in the weeds, we are going to let y'all go. We hope you have a fabulous Sunday. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.